Today we're looking at the good news relationship. We have gone through a series here, and this is coming down to the end of our series of good news. And the first one was on the good news heart, and we were looking at having positive thoughts, where we want to be positive thinkers. And what we're looking at here is transitioning into God thoughts, where those positive thoughts are not just positive, but they are positive God thoughts. They're God thoughts that He thinks. And as we start to move ourselves more into that realm of God thoughts, things really start to change in the direction of Philippians 4:8. And what the Bible says in Philippians 4:8 is that those things that are true, those things that are right, those things that are noble, those things that are lovely, pure, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think on those things. Now, can't you just imagine what your life would be like if everything you thought fell into that category? That changes your life, doesn't it? And that is the good news heart, to where that we're examining the issue of good news goes beyond being preached to you. The good news isn't just the good news message. It isn't just the gospel message. The good news message is a good news life. And it starts with Philippians 4:8. It starts with the thoughts of our life. And we start to think those thoughts and start to allow those to be our total thoughts. And if it doesn't fit into that category, we just don't think it. As at the moment that that starts to happen, then we move into something that is very powerful. And that is the fact that the tongue is the steering wheel of your life. And we frequently don't understand this. This is something that is very foreign to us. As a matter of fact, if it were not for the fact that God's word says in James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect person. Now, if the Bible didn't say that, I wouldn't believe it. It's just hard to believe that something that small, the human tongue, could actually steer your life and bring it to a place to where that says, able to keep his whole body in check. And then he uses some illustrations of a horse and how that a rudder steers a ship and all of these things just to kind of help us to further understand it. And then says, look at a small spark, how small of a spark is necessary to set an entire forest on fire. Then it starts to make sense. You say, okay, starting to get that. We then looked at the issue of God faith, where Mark 11:24 says, and I wish I had put that in as one of the things that I had up there, but I didn't. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, is that awesome or what?
Awesome.
That is awesome stuff. Now, if you're not excited about that, we are going to have to check your pulse. Because this is something to get excited about. Because whenever it goes into the realm of saying to us, therefore I tell you, whatever. In other words, it's the same thing as what we had in James 3:2. It heads all the way to perfection. It's unlimited. God, the Bible says, is super abundantly above anything we can think of or ask for, that He can do anything super abundantly above anything that we think of or ask for. That's God. We're not going to tax Him. We're not going to move our lives into a realm where that we are putting God into a stress situation, where this person has just gone to a point of thought and a point of confession and a point of faith that's just beyond anything I can produce. We're going to always be far below what God is able to do for us and do through us. It's just always going to be that way. God is so far above us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than your thoughts and ways. So we're never, ever going to challenge God. And what we're talking about here in this point is to take those thoughts and to take those words and to add faith to them. The just shall live by faith. And we looked at the good news life. The just shall live by faith. That's how they live. And in that faith, we start to put complete belief, trust, reliance, and dependence upon God. Amen. Now, you know us. We'll take a good thing, and we'll make it negative. We'll get it to a point to where that we'll figure out some way. Well, we'll put this thing into a situation where all the pressure is exerted on us. You're supposed to be thinking God thoughts. Oh, those aren't God thoughts. And people get shunned, they get ridiculed, they get put into a situation where they start to feel guilt and all sorts of things because we get into the ritual of God thoughts. We get into a place to where that we try to start having God thoughts. We get into a place where we try to stop saying those things that aren't God words. We are constantly pushing ourselves towards something where that we feel like that we're the answer to our needs, where we're the answer to our spiritual growth. And we start trying to do those things that the Bible lays out for us to start trying to do. Or we'll go and start putting pressure on other people saying, now always believe in God. You're not believing in God. That's not trust. That's not faith. And we'll put guilt trips on people. We're talking about positive thinking. We're talking about positive things of God. We're talking about positive thoughts. We're talking about positive words. We're talking about positive faith. And then we'll turn that into something that we can use against people. Why are we like that? I don't know. We're just weird. But here's what the Bible says. Matthew, as a matter of fact, this is our text, Matthew 11:28, that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What's it saying? The pressure isn't on you. It's not you beating your brain into a position where it starts to think God thoughts. It isn't you strangling your throat trying to keep from saying words other than God words. It isn't you trying to have faith to do something spectacular for God, trying to believe and totally depend upon Him. It's a relationship, and that's what we're looking at today, the good news relationship. It's good news that the job is not ours. It's good news that the responsibility doesn't fall on our shoulders. Instead, God is saying to you today, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden and having difficult times, come to me. If your thoughts are running in all kinds of different directions, if you're finding yourself discouraged and depressed and finding yourself in all kinds of difficult things that are scaring you, creating anxieties in your life that you cannot control, if you're finding yourself in some sort of a circumstance where your mind is just out of control, there have been times when my circumstances were so bad that I would start to try to figure out, how am I going to solve this? What am I going to have to do to get this thing worked through? And I would come down to, well, maybe I could do this. No, that won't work because of this. And to say, well, maybe I could do this. Well, no, that's not actually going to happen because this would mess that up. And so then I think, well, maybe I could do this. And then I would finally find right back around to the very beginning again, and I had what I call circular reasoning, where I just kept thinking through something and going back through it and over again, coming back to the same conclusion. It's not possible. It just can't be solved. My thoughts were not my solution. My personal efforts were not my solution. It's coming to God. It's coming to Him and saying, I am burdened. I am weary. I am fatigued. And one of the things that we looked at in faith is that faith and positive thinking and positive confession doesn't reside in ignoring the fact that problems exist. That faith acknowledges our problems in the light of God's solutions. Does that make sense to you? That you look at your problems not in the light of how big the problem is. That you look at your problems in the light of God's solutions. And when you do that, it's good news. That there are a lot of people who have shipwrecked their lives who are positive thinkers. People who just ignored the fact that they had problems. But in the process of ignoring the fact that those problems exist, those problems still are there. Just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean no one's after you. Just think about that for a minute. Just because you're not, I'm not paranoid. Well, that doesn't mean no one's after you. Ignoring your problems isn't going to solve your life. It is just because you're positive doesn't make the problems go away. Positive thinkers who ignore the fact that those problems exist are people who are going to ultimately find that those problems exist, and those problems have been ignored, and they have been neglected, and because they were neglected, they will pile up on top of them and destroy the person. So it's not just positive thinking, is it? It's taking the problems and realizing that when you mix faith in it, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you will have it. That you've got to go beyond human effort and come to God. And when we come to God, those of us who are burdened and weary and heavy laden and come to God and put our lives and we cast our cares on Him, you can afford to think positive thoughts because He cares for you. But it's our choice. We have to decide which way we're going to go. We're all making those decisions all day long, every day. You can worry. You can stress your brain completely out trying to figure out how you're going to solve all your problems. You can work on them. And you can plan. And you can try to kind of manipulate those people around you, trying to get them to line up to the way you want them to live. You can manipulate your spouse. You can manipulate your boss. You can manipulate your children. You can manipulate all the people around you. And you can try to get everyone lined up and get all your ducks in a row by manipulation. Or you can come to God and cast all your cares on Him. It's our choice, isn't it? This is a permission. Remember this? This is a permission-based relationship. Okay, this is kind of how it works. I used to take my books and put them under my pillow at night and hope that through osmosis, all that information would soak into my brain. Ever thought, wish that would work? You think, well, I just want to sleep on this book, and when I wake up in the morning, I'll know everything and I can pass the test. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, that's the answer. And that's kind of the way we think about Christianity. We think, okay, I'm a Christian. No problems, right? Problems. No issues, right? I mean, your marriages, your relationship, your school, your grades, everything, just as soon as you become a Christian, boom, everything is perfect. No, you're looking at me weird. It's not happening for you? Yes, me? No, just kidding. It's a relationship. It's a good news relationship that we have as an opportunity for us to start living the good news life. And there are things that we sing about. When you come into the church service, there is this work on your emotions. We're worshiping and praising God, and we're turning our lives over to Him, and we're giving Him the opportunity to have His way in our hearts and in our emotions, in our thoughts. We're starting to turn it all over to Him. And the more you worship, the more it starts to feed your heart. Now, what your heart is, what the Bible calls the heart. Now, we have named something else the heart. We named that blood-pumping organism inside of our body and our chest. We named that the heart. I guess that's the heart of the body, but that's not the heart of us. The subconscious mind is our heart, and that's what the Bible calls the heart. And when the heart is devoted to God, when the heart is allowed to be fed worship and praise and glory to God and starts to give God appreciation for the things that He's doing in and through your life, the heart melts. The heart softens. And so all of a sudden it gives us this opportunity to come to this place of having a relationship with God. Now, when I read this verse of Scripture as a new Christian, that scared me pretty bad. It doesn't have the word you there because the English kind of has the implied you, and so it gets confusing sometimes. But I knew it was talking to me. In Mark 12:30, says, "You love the Lord your God." I'm trying. I want to love God. I'm trying to love God. I love God, but I do not love God because of the fact that I'm trying. Now, let us say that you start to allow your thought life to change. Let's say that you start allowing just those things that are positive in God, in His Word. That you go through that list of Philippians 4:8, and let's just say that you start allowing that to become your thought life. Miracles start to take place in your life. When God works you a miracle, it becomes your opportunity to appreciate it. Let's say that you bought your kids a bunch of gifts, and they were ripping all the packages open, and they would look at what you bought them, and they'd say, oh, I that's not what I wanted. Well, that's not what you're going to get. And there would be a threat behind that statement, wouldn't there? And we'd snatch those gifts out of their hands so fast that give them burns on their fingers and say, well, go play with the box because this is not going to be yours anymore. What are you looking for? Appreciation. If I'm going to go out there and earn that money and work that hard and do all that to get it, make it possible for you to get those gifts, you're going to appreciate it. And that happens to God a lot. He just works one miracle after another. You know, I told you about the lady that said, I've got this horrible disease. Pray for me. So the entire class prayed for her. We all sought God. And God healed her. And she came back and she said, it healed itself. We wanted to strangle her. It healed itself? What do you mean it healed itself? It didn't heal itself. God healed you. Did you ask us to pray that it would heal itself, or did you ask us to go to God and ask Him to heal you? But that's what she heard. That's what she saw. That's how she believes. This is her whole... I can't even talk. Yes?
80% of my pain is gone. 80%. Amen. I noticed it's gone.
Praise God. Glory to your holy name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 80% of her pain is gone because of you, God. 80% of the pain is just gone, completely gone. All of a sudden, she just started looking over her body and feeling all of the feelings, Heavenly Father, and realized that you'd taken it away. And she's got her hand up this morning saying, hey, everybody, God did it. We're praising you and we're worshiping you because we're thankful. She's thankful. She's appreciative and we're appreciative with her. We're rejoicing with her because of what you've done, Heavenly Father. Thank you very much. No wonder I couldn't talk. God wants you to talk. Love the Lord your God. How does that work? Do you realize how much it's going to change your whole life when you start to think a certain way and when you start to talk a certain way? Do you realize how much that's going to change your life? And it isn't because of the thoughts you're thinking. It isn't because of the words you're saying. It is because of the God that is moving in your life. Yes, Doug.
I want you all to know I just found God in your office.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer. Thank you, Jesus. God is just moving in a mighty way, isn't He? Amen. Can't even preach. You guys have brought so many healings and deliverances and salvations. Praise God. Praise God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's not a theory, is it? It's not just us talking some strange word. It's just not coming to church and going over some scriptures. This is stuff that transforms lives. This is the thing that starts the massive revival through our community, through our state, through our nation, through our world. Huh?
This is real.
This is real. This is real. This is where we go from those theories, where we go from those things that we talk about and accept them just as normal things that we always talk about that we'd like to see happen, but they are not the things that we're seeing happen. They're not the things that we are experiencing. And we start to move into the realm of the realities of the truths of God. Does God exist? How do you know? Your mama told you? You've always been a Christian? How do you know? The Bible says so, okay? Faith? How do you know?
He fills me with love.
Fills you with love? What is that called when someone is filled with love? happy person for one thing. What is that called? That's called an experience. How many of you have a detergent that you tried that they promised on TV that it would clean your clothes and it didn't? How many of you have had that? Okay, why don't you use that detergent anymore? The experience. It didn't work. How come you're Christians? It works. How come you know God exists? He works. He produces. He's real. Okay, a lot of people think that it's based on faith, which means we don't really know if God exists or not, but we believe He is. A lot of people think it's that way. Well, we're not sure, but we have to believe. So do you hear what that definition of belief is? We don't know if He exists, but we have to take it by faith. That's not faith. That's not what we're talking about when we say God faith. It's basing your faith on the facts. It's basing your faith on what God has done. It's not going to be done. It's done. And faith deals with what's done. And so if it's not done, then we don't believe it. If it's not real, then we're not accepting it. If it's not working in our lives, then we're not there. We'll go somewhere else where it's real. But it's real. How do you know it's real? Because it's working in your life. Now that it's working in your life, what do you do with it? Appreciation. That's why we come first thing Sunday morning and we have worship service. So that we can praise God, praise Him, and thank Him. Now, if you just go through the words of the song and just kind of mouth them, nothing's going on in that relationship with God. It's not the good news relationship. What that is ritual. That's following a certain ritual, going through those procedures that you have always gone through. But if you zero in on those words and start to sing those words and start to mean them from the bottom of your heart, if you start to really worship God with all of those words and they start to come out of your heart in faith and acceptance of Him, what happens to your heart? What happens to your life? Praise and worship starts to flow. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Or you can stand there and say, praise God whom all blessings flow. You need healing, don't you? Your heart is not melted. It may not. Huh?
God blesses you when you praise Him.
Amen. God actually lives inside of them, doesn't He? He lives. God inhabits our praise. God lives inside of that praise. That becomes the exciting element of living the Christian life in a relationship to where that we don't take all of these concepts of thoughts, words, and faith and start to apply them to a set of regimental rules and legalistic procedures and organizational structure. And move into a relationship with a God that performs positive thoughts in our minds because of the dynamics of the miracles that are taking place in our life. And we are worshiping Him and thanking Him. Do you have a miracle in your life today? Do you have two miracles that are resident in your life today? Do we have anybody here with three? Anybody with four? Anybody with 100? We haven't lost you yet. We actually have thousands. We just don't know about all of them. Oral Roberts used to say, expect a miracle every day. Well, at first I thought, I just don't know about a miracle every day. And I finally got to a place where I realized that wasn't enough. I needed miracles in large quantities every day. I don't know how you live your life, but I'm an accident waiting to happen. If you think Jonah's bad, you don't want me on your ship. I have to have miracles constantly. How about you? And when those miracles come, what do? We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We just praise Him and we worship Him and we glorify Him. Why are these songs so lively in this church? Because our hearts are lively toward God. Why are we an excited church? Because we are emotionalists? Well, maybe, but actually everybody is. Every person has an extreme emotional element to their life. That's how your heart talks to you. It can't say words. Your heart cannot talk to you and say, "Hey, I'm feeling a little bit discouraged today." It gives you depression. You say, "Oh, how do you feel today?" "Whoa, I'm having to reach up to touch bottom." Well, where's that coming from? Your heart. Because it's depressed, it's saying to you, depression, discouragement. That's how it talks. And so we walk around in doom and gloom because it feels depressed. And it expresses that feeling. And as we start to pour into it the thoughts and the elements of God's word, and we start to think Philippians 4:8 thoughts, when we start to speak out those things and they start to enter into our own ears, and we start to say the words of God, and we start to believe in the presence and the power of God, great miraculous things happen. And when they do, we can choose between whether or not to appreciate and praise God for them. So that the next time you get an opportunity to choose a song on your CD player, you are so excited about God, you're so appreciative, you're so filled with praise, that some cowboy that is just lost his girl just can't cut it. And so you change the station because he just is not speaking your heart. The lyrics to hard acid rock stuff just can't express how you feel. And so you change it. Why does it change? Because the pastor said to not listen to that stuff. Well, it doesn't go that way. It doesn't turn into a regimentation of your life. It goes into something that ultimately just so floods your heart and your life with the excitement of God that you just can't listen to those things. You just can't stand. I was watching this television program, and this guy was trying to take a perfectly happy woman and try to get her to aspire to her greatest potential. And she was going to leave all of her friends. She was going to leave her husband. She was going to leave everybody and go aspire to her greatest potential. And I told Christy, I said, "I can't stand it. I'm not watching that." Why? Because it's a relationship. She's going to reach her highest potential and have no friends. She'll have friends like the prodigal son had friends. Friends who are after her money. That's not friends. That's not what I want. That's not the relationship I want. The good news is that I have friends. Now, it spills out from God to the people around you. Do you know why people like you? I have no idea. I don't even like me. Do you know why people like you? Because of the miracles that have been worked in your heart and your life. You've just become a better, 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 better person. You're becoming much more exciting to be around. Do you know why people like you? Because God's in you. Do you know why people like you? Because you like them. You don't like me? Hey, I can't stand you. You don't like me? What do you mean you don't like me? Are you hearing me? We like those that like us. You like me? Okay, we're friends. I don't like you a lot, but I mean, we may have personality conflicts, there may be differences of opinions and sorts of things like that. But if you like me, you've started off on the right foot. If you like me. And that's why people like us, is because we like them. We tell them that we like them. We let them know that we like them. A lot of you are not huggers. I am. And so I go around and hug you. And some of you are like hugging a stick. It's like, that's okay. At least you let me hug you. Why? Because I like you. I've gone beyond liking you. I love you. I love every one of you. I love you. I care about you. You love me too? All right. That's a relationship, isn't it? You should have seen me before Jesus. You should have tried me then. I had to take a course on how to be nice to people. I flunked it. I'm just kidding. I studied really hard. To love your neighbor as yourself. Just what it does to your relationships. You know what makes you happy is when you start having lots of friends. Did you know that that makes you happy? That when you start walking around and people start saying to you, hi, did you know that makes you happy? That as you start to love your neighbor as yourself and they start to love you back, that starts to upgrade your Philippians 4:8 thoughts. In other words, this is something that is like a snowball down a hill. It starts off small with Philippians 4:8, and it moves into James 3:2, and it moves into Mark 11:24, but it progresses. It starts to boomerang on you and start coming back to you to where that you start getting feedback from the people around you, and they start saying, I like that person. And when they do, and it comes back to you, or they smile at you and start to show that they like you, it starts to feed back to you to where that you love your neighbor as yourself and that your neighbor loves you back. And it puts a smile on your face. But if you go around doom and gloom, I call them Eeyores. I don't know if you know that little stuffed animal that they show on TV, Eeyore, that we're probably going to die. Well, yeah, it looks good now, but wait. I call them Eeyores. If you go around as an Eeyore, people don't really enjoy your company much because you're going to die all the time, and because they're going to die, and because everybody around them are going to die, and because your relatives are going to die, and everybody you've ever known is going to die, and this entire nation is going to die. They don't like being around you. But all of a sudden, as you transform in your thinking and your talking, your boss likes you better, pays you more money. No, they know you can handle the work, but they're not sure you can handle the money, so you may not get a raise. But your boss will like you more. Those people around you will like you more. Your spouse, hope it's just one, your spouse will like you more. Thought I'd become Mormon, didn't you? We knew there was something strange about that guy. They start to like you. The last part of Mark 12:31 says, love your neighbor as yourself. This becomes the big issue of what happens to you. It grows inside of you. The peace of God that passes understanding starts to flood your heart and your mind. It heals you on the inside. It helps your relationship with God. It helps your relationship with your neighbors. It helps your relationship with yourself. To where that all of a sudden, there are people, and you may be one of them, there are people who hate themselves. There are people who despise themselves. There are people that I will tell them, the problem that you're facing right now is that you can't stand yourself. And they'll say, no, I'm not buying that. And then we just start to talk and we start working through all of the things they think and all the things that they say. And they have come to a place to where that they can't stand themselves. Now, some of it emanates from the fact that they get their esteem from the people around them. They have people esteem. They don't have self-esteem. They have people esteem. None of them work except God esteem, but these have people esteem, and there are people who start to reject them and reject them and reject them, and after a while, they take buy into that evaluation of all the people around them, and they decide, I'm no good. But as this process of the good news starts to flow into your heart and into your life, it brings you to a place where that all of a sudden you realize God loves me, the creator of the universe loves me. And he puts his stamp of approval on me. And he thinks I'm wonderful. And your heart melts. And when it does, all of a sudden you are able to love yourself. Oh, I'm such a sweet person. That's not what I'm talking about. Get over it. Did you know that a lot of times the reason why we treat the people around us is the way we do is because we do not love ourselves? There are people you do not want them to love you as themselves. How about those that commit suicide? Do you want them loving you like they love themselves? It has to move into God, doesn't it? You can't just take these passages of Scripture outside of God, can you? And it comes our responsibility to realize that the whole thing that God is asking us to do is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, build your relationship with Him. Seek Him first. Now, those of you who have professional esteem, those of you who are getting your esteem based on what you do. I went in and sat down at a school one time to try to get some things straightened out with this young man that was having difficulties in school. And I went in there and sat down and I said, well, I don't know any of you. Could you guys kind of tell me who you are? And this one guy went through his entire list of education. And I smiled at him and the rest of them told me who they were. He told me who he was too. He was that education. People get their esteem from various things. But what God is asking you to do is to seek Him first, to put Him as the priority of your life. And when that happens, you become much more successful in business. You become much more successful in marriage. You become much more successful in child raising. You become much more successful in your relationship with your parents. You become much more successful in everything that you do because you're a transformed person. I think it was Groucho Marx that said, I wouldn't join a club who would allow me to be a member. Because Groucho Marx knew who Groucho Marx was. And he said, if they'll let me in, they'll let anybody in. And I don't want in a club that's like that. But as you change, as you grow, becomes a different situation, doesn't it? Your life changes, and it feeds back to you. As you seek God first, everything else you're trying to get right here, right now, a new pair of shoes. You've got 30, but you still need one more. Boo! I just lost half the congregation. I need that boat. I need that car. I need that house. I need that tool. I need that job. What's it saying? Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and every one of those things will be added to you. I don't know about the 30th pair of shoes, but maybe 29. Are you listening to this? This is how to. This is the way we take our steps into the success of life. This transforms our life. This makes our life totally different. Our focus comes in on He who is able to bring us to that place. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength. Now, I want you to compare this with another thought, okay? You can do anything you set your mind to do. Compare that with, I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength. If you set your mind to it, you can do anything. And compared with that, you're alone in that first, in that statement about you doing it by setting your mind to do it. The hollowness, the emptiness, the lack of the relationship that exists in the person who is trying to be a self-made man. One guy who was very successful financially said, I always try to be a self-made man. And he said, now I wish I'd let somebody else do it. You only get one life, right? And that life succeeds or fails based on how you live it and what the principles are that you use to live it by, right? And this is Philippians 4:13 principle. I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength. Amen. Amen. Isn't that full of power? It's only as limited as you can think it or ask for it. That's all that's limited in this particular passage of Scripture, Philippians 4:13. Don't forget it. I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. Don't forget that. Live that every moment of every day. Just put that into your life principles. And realize that if you go from Philippians 4:8, if you go to James 3:2, if you go into Mark 11:24, and you move into the relationships of seeking God first, you will get Philippians 4:13.